This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, November 18th, 2010.
What day was it? The 18th? It's recorded now.
All right, the time is 4:45, and I'm calling the November 18th meeting of the Student Assembly to order. Will the clerk please call the roll? Here. Sorry. Yeah, just here. He's here.
Yeah.
Here.
When he is here.
Here.
Yes. He is here. He'll be a little late though, but he's here.
All right. Next order on the agenda is approval of the minutes from last meeting, the November 11th meeting. Are there any amendments to the minutes? You received them in the email with the agenda. Is there a motion to approve? And second, any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes are approved.
Open microphone if any member in the audience, non-SA member, who would like to talk on an issue not currently on the agenda, please feel free to come up to the microphone and make yourselves heard. Thanks a bunch. So can you please state your name for your record and your class year?
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Questions, yeah?
Oh, okay.
What's the application process to be located
on that?
Yeah.
I'd like to say from an internal operations perspective that we will definitely put a lot more energy into strengthening the relationship between the SA and the Women's Resource Center in the future. And I appreciate your concern.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming today. And this is a pressing issue on campus. I did attend the forum that Dean Hubbell held here, right here in the Willard Strait, about 2 weeks ago. I thought that was extremely helpful, and I personally learned a lot, and we'll address that issue right away. And thank you for, I know you all were involved with writing Resolution 47, and, you know, I think we need more resolutions like this, and look forward to working with Laura Weiss, you know, throughout the next semester. So thank you for coming.
Okay. Thanks again for that, Eva. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to speak on a topic that is not currently on the agenda? If so, please feel free to come up to the microphone. Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to move to close the open microphone session.
Moving on to the next portion of our agenda, announcements and reports. First up, Cornell Cinema by VP Nicoletti.
Thanks, Vince. So on Monday, the Appropriations Committee met with Cornell Cinema in its kind of first official meeting of this year. And, you know, a lot of the topics were in response to the byline hearings of last fall. So specifically going to the report, first, you know, the committee really recognized the cultural importance that Cornell Cinema has. And, you know, we feel it is a really good resource and asset on campus. You know, we're really happy that they've separated their accounts so that student activity fee money is going to be accounted for separate compared to everything else in the budget. And so hopefully we'll be able to see where those different flows of money go to, and there won't be any discrepancy. A few things we mainly talked about. One was related to student involvement in the cinema. And we felt that students need to play a more defined and direct role in the cinema. And, you know, currently they've created a few committees, but we felt that they were a little too advisory in nature, and they weren't able to really have influence over things like the film selections process. We feel giving students the ability to dictate that would serve to create a better cinema. The other thing we talked about was the issue of fluctuating budgets and the fact that they have a very high reserve to protect against capital expenditure fluctuations and income fluctuations. So a few committee members suggested that they could build up, let's say, their reserve over time so that they can build a new projector, so they can buy a new projector instead of having it always, let's say, at $40,000 so that if it crashes at any point, that's very much like how CU EMS does it. And the other thing is that we ask that cinema is flexible with the programming, and on nights where attendance is low, it, you know, would consider reducing programming on those nights in order to balance its budget. And, you know, we're looking forward to addressing some of the feasibility of that with them. But I think overall, we're open to feedback, and we hope that there's a two-way road of communication between us and the cinema. We want to hear their concerns, and we want them to hear ours. But overall, I think there has been improvement, but there's still, you know, room for growth and, you know, ability to extend our relationship. So we'll keep you posted on this important issue as it develops. Are there any questions?
No.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Ivy Council Conference Report by Representative Jenkins. Is that not on? Try a different mic. Anchor, can you pass me on the mic?
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. Just an update on how the admin system went. We had about 15 people come, and it was a strong delegation. So it's a great weekend. We got to listen to Mayor Barnett and Senator Rocha. The Treasurer Provincial actually spoke before having some actually a pre-sub session. All delegates got their own time, which is covered, like, going through our whole reimbursement process right then. We also moved a new board position to focus our initiative on a year-wide education.
Any questions? Thanks. Next on the agenda is AAP update by Ulysses Smith, Representative Smith. Thank you. Next is any questions? Next on the agenda is late night programming report by myself. You all have it here in your packets. The full report that the ad hoc committee made. Are there members of the ad hoc committee in the audience? Yes, Lauren. Lauren, you want to come up? Let's come to the table.
Assembly, report, and work with us,
Oh, there's one question. Oh, there. Okay. All right, we're going to do a quick 15-minute Middle States Accreditation Self-Steering Committee report by very own Dean Hubble. Oh my God, this thing. Sure.
Related to education activities, those things that involve, you know, eliciting more responses, critiques, and dishes. So finally to be submitted on February 1, the team chair will be moving up to December 17 for a quick visit to make sure the logistics are in place for the full season. So the audience, as this stage of the course, the primary audience is the institution's own community. The secondary audience includes external public constituencies, including, of course, our alumni. So this document is really intended to benefit us. This is the opportunity for us to reflect on our strengths, our initiatives, agendas, and, of course, challenges we may face in various sports. So the primary purpose of the important self-study is to keep yourself in the standard that you have to self-improve. As you know, as we went through the business of economic contraction, the Great Recession, as it's called, the university really had to think about how this was going to go through this. The provost, as you think about the university, decided that they would undertake this plan. It's now taken place already. It sort of started in the midst of our accreditation self-study and concluded in advance of the end of our self-study. What we've done has been try to incorporate the contents of that into the self-study so that as we go forward, they really are of a piece. Normally, these two kinds of undertakings would be distinct from one another, but this time, because of the way things happen, they are taken together, perhaps in the final analysis of our day. So, as it states here, the student plan is trying to make the basis for development organizations that are programmed for self-study. So, if you're familiar with the student plan, you'll see its shadows delineated in the self-study. So, if you're interested in reading the self-study, you can go online and just put in cornell.edu middle state. You'll get to it. You can then upload it, print it. It's public information. It's not only available to the Cornell community, but to anybody who is interested in viewing it. Bear in mind, it's a draft, and we expect to add to it stuff in the way over the next couple of months as we gather information from our schools, such as the Student Center. So here it is, the whole story. That's what it looks like. It's 227 pages double sided. So if you want to print it, make sure you put a week of paper in the print. You see how it's broken down in sections. Now, plan 14. This one I think is probably most interesting. The assessment of student learning. As I said, assessment is becoming important to middle state and federal government and now what is going on. We have done assessment all along, but perhaps it's not as targeted fashion as expected forward. We're not worried about the university and the government have come to a point where they certainly appreciate good teaching. What has become more important is what are students learning, what is the outcomes of teaching. So learning outcomes has become sort of the watchword of all. So every department on campus and every college and school on campus has now put together a series of learning outcomes, or if they haven't, they will be doing so in the future, such that the assessment will become at least arguably ubiquitous throughout our academic pedagogical. So as you can see here, we are expected to have documented and organized the same assessment process for evaluating student learning. Now, is that anything but good news? I think it is. I think that we mean that 5 or 10 years from now, I would say university teaching will progress right down to almost every class. We need a much higher standard. Now, not that we don't do what we don't have to do, one, because otherwise, this whole assessment initiative can only lead to better teaching. So hearing a lot of learning outcomes for the university. This was vetted and carefully developed by a group called Core Assessment, led by Vice Provost of Frederick Education Program, and a committee of staff from the university included. So disciplinary knowledge, critical thinking, communication skills, scientific and quantitative reasoning, self-directed learning, creative literacy, engaging in the process of discovering information, multicultural competence, moral and ethical awareness, self-management, and community engagement. So if you look at our university in a global sense, those are the learning outcomes that we as a community aspire to as we go about the business. So we've gone over this already, but the primary purpose of self-study is to advance students' self-understanding and self-improvement. So self-study is most useful when identifies opportunities for growth and development. So there are a whole series of recommendations, and I don't know that we should go into the details, but they are embodied in the report, and they're at the end of every section. So if you're not inclined to read the report in its entirety, you can go to the end of every section and see what your recommendations are. I expect that a number of recommendations at the end of every section will increase as we go through this process of discussing the report with the university community. So the site visit takes place March 27th and 30th. The chair is the Dean of Arts and Sciences at the University of Maine, Rebecca Chanel. Fantastic chair of arts, given her background and knowledge, and, you think of Ken as our fitting sibling, and has watched the comment before now. So it's a good choice, in my view. But then, so here's the rest of the team. You can see it comes drawn from a variety of other students that there are resemblances now. And they will come to us. Sunday morning and begin the process of really going over the whole university, meeting with all kinds of people across the whole campus. And once they're finished with that whole process, they will get on Wednesday with an oral summary for the president and a draft of their final report. At that point, we'll know whether we passed or not. I don't think there's any doubt that we will pass next. But what will happen is the final report will make suggestions, which are entirely optional, so they can make any number of those, and we may or may not decide to adopt them or act on them. Recommendations, however, require us to act. So they take several different forms. Some of them take a sort of routine character to them. In other words, they require us to do something within 5 years. On the other hand, if they see things they're more concerned about, they'll expect us to draft the report in progress later, anywhere from 6 months to 2 years off. And then if they, for some reason they find fault with, serious fault with what we're doing, they can request a monitoring report using 6 to 24 months in intervals up to 5 years. If there are a large number of requirements, that would signal that accreditation is in jeopardy if you weren't complying with these requirements. I don't think any of us feel that we'll be profoundly at risk here. The one thing, though, that we do believe we need to, and we will be excited for, is the support of the assessment. The assessment of student learning has gained momentum throughout this decade. So, at this point, any university that goes to accreditation is expected to have an assessment regime in place, and if they haven't completed it, it needs to be on a track to be completed, and not just for the purpose of accreditation, but as an integral part of the way we do this at the university. So, this is the group you should communicate with if you have questions, comments, or suggestions. Me, of course, Al Matthews, or Brian. So, with that, I can conclude and answer any questions.
Representative Kurtz.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right, I actually do have a question. Would it be possible to, just for the Assembly's office, to print out one more version and make it available to all the Assemblies for review?
I'll ask Christine to do it tomorrow. You just pick it up.
Yeah, I'll pick it up. Here. Okay, that'd be great. Are there any questions? Chapter 4 is the one that you all probably want to read. That's that is deal specifically with the student assembly and the other assemblies. If you are interested. So. Yeah. Yeah, we could also do that as well. So thank you, Dean Hubble. If you have any questions, feel free to ask Dean Hubble. All right.
Second.
All right, we have a motion to hear unfinished business. So you'd like to move it to right now? All right. And we have a.
I have a motion to move Resolution 47 to business today, following Resolution 38.
I second.
All right, we have two motions to hear Resolution 39 and Resolution 47 right now. We do have students from the Women's Resource Center, so would you mind hearing 37 after 49?
That's why I have to
hear. All right. Well, we heard the motion for Resolution 39 occurred first, so we'll vote for that. So there was a second, and now we'll move to vote. So if you'd like to go directly to Resolution 39, please raise your hands right now. All right, that's a majority, so we'll go ahead and do that. So, moving on to unfinished business, Resolution 39, call for all students to boycott collegeacv.com and similar gossip websites. Yeah. Okay, well, we're doing this right now. Where is that? Is that here? All right.
So
can you guys put that up?
Real simple. We feel as though college agency, it's not calling for a ban on college agency. We're not asking Cornell shareholders to prohibit user access. It's saying that students definitely have a space where people can come together and express the general sentiment of the students. That this website and gossip sites like it are contrary to our values. And they promote things that we as a society shouldn't be supporting. We should be telling kids not to support the site, not to let advertisers make money off of the destructive things that are set up, and have a few people who'd like to be more on it.
So I'm talking with leaders online, so we pretty much the universal report tonight. I also there is a brief chapter that is not mentioned on the report, but I just want to make the first time in a long time. So the stuff that is on there is horrible. I don't suggest it to check it out because it's probably be like a horrible shock to you if you've never seen it. It's not good, and it definitely does not hold enough that we have for now we have students that are leaving the group and stuff. So that's all. So
one more minute. That's your time. Thank you. First, so to let everybody know, if you'd like to get as members in the audience, the voting record is going around, but if you'd also like to speak, let our parliamentarian know, and I'll recognize you. So first on the speaker's list is Representative Block. Representative Proust. Thank you. VP Nicoletti.
You know, I completely agree with that sentiment. And, you know, people are addressing kind of First Amendment rights. You know, are they in question here? And the fact is that it's the anonymous nature of college ACB that causes it to be harmful. And I don't know necessarily if your First Amendment rights protect you against anonymous libel. I don't know if that's true. And, you know, the truth is that people wouldn't post the majority of the content if it weren't anonymous. The ability to say whatever you want about whatever you want. And at the end of the day, this site is cyberbullying. And I think it goes against what we passed earlier in the semester, condemning this practice. You know, I agree with Representative Proust. It's cowardly. It's harmful to our community. But what is posted on this site is just plain wrong. And we need to join together as a community to take a stand on this important issue and show that this isn't something that is beneficial to our community.
Is there anybody in the audience? You just raise your hand if you'd like to speak. Representative Rao?
Good points that have been made. I kind of agree with Representative Cruz, but I kind of agree with Representative Block. I think, you know, it's something we need to take. It's exciting. It's disgusting. It's really horrible to not even focus on. I guess it's ours, but I don't really think this resolution is accomplishing anything because I think if you're the type of person that focuses on college ACB and rights and other things, what do you care about the kind of resolution? How does that stop you from continuing to
give you a minute to respond, Ken.
I think it really depends on what your view of the student assembly is. Are we a place where people can come together and discuss issues on campus? Are we a place where we can raise dialogue about problems that are going on? And I think the answer to that is yes. I think that, you know, the student assembly, we are elected to represent the student body as such. We should, this is exactly what sense of body resolutions are for. You know, we wouldn't have this type of resolution if this category of resolution is not to use it. So I think, you know, this is the perfect sense of body in my mind. And
can I ask a follow-up?
Representative Danzer. Oh, sorry, if you'd like, I'll give you, you had 20 more seconds on the clock, so. Thank you. Representative Danzer.
I think the reason why this is so important to have is because, you know, we've all heard or had these conversations in private about college ACP and about similar websites about how we feel they're disgusting or about how constituents feel they're very disgusting. And to simply say, well, it's not our place to provide sort of recognition to that is exactly the purpose of the student assembly. The student assembly is here today. If students are having these conversations in private, then why not shine a light on it? Why not say, as it's not just these private pockets of conversation, as a student body, we reject what college ACB stands for. We reject that students using college ACB to defame other students, to quote, discussing things about them. We're saying that is a wrong thing to do. In a similar fashion to what you said, that as a student body, we reject bullying on campus. And I think this is exactly, you know, this falls exactly under that. This is absolutely better bullying, like what President Lee said. And for us to simply say, well, students are talking about this on our own, it's not our place, is exactly the wrong attitude to take towards our responsibility as students. We're here to represent the interests of the students, we're here to represent the voice of the students. And as such, we need to be able to say, this is what the students are saying, and we're going to say it just as loudly, if not louder.
So there's been a call to question, and there's a second. We will go. Is there any dissent? And there's dissent. We'll go ahead and move. We'll vote to vote. So if you'd like to vote on Resolution 39, please raise your placards. We need 2/3 majority to pass. We're already voting. All right, you can place it down. If you'd like to continue debate, please raise your placards. By the vote does not, we will move to vote now. By a vote of 15-3, we will move to vote. So now, we are back on the full resolution. Call to question. So if you'd like to pass Resolution 39, what?
Audience.
Right, the audience. This is a sense of body resolution, thus the audience. If you vote in favor, you get 2 votes to allocate either or. So if you feel comfortable, so right now, please raise the audience. Please raise your placards if you are in favor of Resolution 39. All right. 8. All right. You put your placards down, and now if you are against it, please raise your placards. Seeing none, by a vote of 8-0, two votes are allocated in favor of 39. Now to the assembly members. We'll go ahead and do a placard vote as well. So please raise your placards if you are in favor of Resolution 39. You voting for?
Yeah.
18. If you are against, please raise your placards. If you are abstaining, by a vote of 20-0-3, Resolution 39 passes. All right. We are now going to... What was your... Make a motion. All right. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are now moving to Resolution 47, a response to recent instances of violence against women. Representative Danzer, community member Drago. Yeah, sure. Eva, actually, Eva, could you just say your name one more time for the record? Your name and year in school? Oh, it is. Yeah, that's true, actually. Never mind. All right, you have 4 minutes to present your resolution.
So, this resolution is following a couple of weeks now, or definitely a week's worth of considerable attention on the campus to violence against women. Last Friday on the Plaza, a solidarity rally, which was intended to bring attention to the issue of sexual violence on campus. And there's been an editorial in the Sun. There has been numerous statements on it made by Susan Murphy at the rally. And what this resolution is doing is twofold. First, explaining exactly what the issues really are, what they boil down to in a couple of brief cases. And each one of those are considerably more expansive than they appear, but each one of these graphs really boils down to what issues are, especially on the campus. Then the first therefore resolve clause is a condemnation of these actions on campus. Against anyone for any reason, specifically violence against women and sexual assault. And then the final B is further resolved clause is a call on the administration to begin looking at innovative ways to deal with this issue, whether they be changes to the university security board, changes to the office of judicial administrator. Currently, the system that we have in place to enforce the rules that we have against sexual assault are completely inadequate. Not only are they inadequate, they are harmful to the community. And so I'll be working with the Judicial Administrator's Office. I've already spoken with Mary Beth Grant, the Judicial Administrator, about this. I'm going to be speaking to students. I'm going to be speaking to the Committee on Judicial Code, whose chair is Lee Grokop, who many of you know. I'm also going to be meeting with Susan Murphy about this issue. And this is going to be something that I'm going to be championing certainly the entirety of the next semester. Radical changes in the system to ensure that victims' rights are just as protected as, the accused, the right to be accused. And so this resolution is set to the body. It's simply the first step. Or one of the first steps toward fixing this issue on campus.
All right. First on the speaker's list is Representative Desai.
Today I just wanted to comment that JAMIC overviewed this resolution on Tuesday. We supported it with a vote of 9-0-0. our sentiments were that, you know, we think this is a great stepping stone and we're going to get the ball moving on this issue. And, you know, we really urge Matt to utilize whether it be the assembly or panic or other public sources to stay transparent with this issue, let people know what's going on, and, you know, not leave this at a sense of the body, you know, out of being really said as much as the university support with the assembly supports equality or equal opportunity, because I think that pretty much goes without saying, but to really take this and move forward on issues that can actively help women on campus, whether it be from a safety or a legal or a judicial or an academic standpoint. Whether you do now or later in the discussion, if you could kind of expand on how you plan to use the JA's office to pursue these issues, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. And actually, before I do that, something that comes exactly to what I discussed with you just before is I friendly amend the third whereas clause to remove the word disability after the word gender and before the word age.
Fourth whereas
clause. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, the third whereas clause, not the list. So it's a fourth whereas clause.
Are there any dissent to that? Seeing none?
Well, now to answer your question. Yes, so I've already actually spoken to the judicial administrator about this. We came up with a pretty good list of changes that we think are needed for the system. I know that the judicial administrator has also spoken extensively with another occasion that I should be sending you to. There are definitely tangible ideas already on the table that we're going to begin moving forward on. So we're going to be making an ad hoc committee, but I'm going to be calling together, numerous students with student administrators, faculty with thought about this issue extensively before just now, who have very good ideas going in.
15 seconds.
What they want to do. So, yeah, we're going to definitely be following up on this.
Next on the speaker's list, your time is expired. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Rapps.
Hi, Evan and Matt. I just want to thank you all and all of Women's Research Center and everyone else that came to support this resolution. I really think that this is something that really is an issue on campus. It has been since the moment I stepped onto campus freshman year. I really applaud your efforts, and just to make a note, I do think that sense of body resolutions are very important to the student assembly. It really creates a message from the student assembly that not only is this a student issue, but something that administrators need to think of as well. So going back to our last conversation, I think this is a great jumping off point. There are a lot of different ways to talk about sexual assault. I know the rally on Hope Plaza was an amazing jumping off point to do that, and I really applaud all of your efforts in doing that. Matt, when you start talking with administrators, I'd urge you to keep as many of the student assembly members, just like Romeo said, in the loop. And there's a lot of different ways to go about that. So not only just thinking about it through the sexual assault venue, but also things that happened before, so preemptive measures as well as post-emptive measures as well. So that involves everything from safety on campus to just the security of women and how women are treated in general. I'd also love to be a part of the conversation, so if you can keep me in there as well. And just talking about your point from the beginning of the meeting, I personally want to apologize for not including the Women's Resource Center in as many discussions as possible through the student assembly this semester. We've really dropped the ball, and we're going to make an effort to really change things around. So I really appreciate everyone's effort, and I apologize humbly on behalf of the student assembly for not doing our due diligence.
Just a quick thing. We definitely do realize that it's not only enforcement, but also prevention. Final resolve clause. That is one of the pieces for preventing sexual assault on campus.
10 seconds. Representatives, well, is there anybody in the audience who'd like to speak? All right, Representative Smith.
But it's interesting how those who are
Been a call to question, and there's been a second. We are going to go ahead and is there any dissent? Seeing none. Yeah, please. You have 2 minutes to close out your resolution. Thank you. Now we will move ahead to go ahead and vote. So would the audience please raise your placards if you are in favor of Resolution 47. All right, you may drop your placards. Is anybody voting against Resolution 47? Seeing none. And now I'm going to go ahead and do a call for acclamation from the assembly members. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Resolution 47 is passed by acclamation. Thank you. Congratulations. Now, moving on to the next item on our agenda, Resolution 34, Charter Revisions 2. Parliamentarian Gould and EVP Mensa. So, I'll let them introduce it. So. You have as much time as you need to introduce your resolution.
To keep everything as close to it, how it is right now, reorganize it. And speak from President Jordan to change some things that were adopted by the SA last semester but turned down.
All right. Moving on to the speakers list, Representative Pruce.
Well, I want to thank you guys for the
Next on the speaker's list is VP Nick Luddy.
So I'm trying to find where it is in the charter, but I actually had one question. I saw in there that you put that the transfer representative can only be someone that has transferred in the fall. I'm wondering if, let's say, someone transfers in the spring and then the following fall wants to run for the transfer representative seat, are they allowed to? Trying to find what article it is. So only fall transfers can run anyway.
But I would leave the net copy out of the full charter.
It is. So. Okay. Fair enough. Just curious.
So that's an issue you can address at a different time.
Yes. If you would.
If you'd like to. Representative Desai. Okay.
Yeah, again, great job, you guys. Mike, I just had a quick question. Did you change the line that I asked you about regarding the parliamentarian?
I did not.
All right. Is that something that needs to be formally amended? Or
it would have to be formally amended.
All right. Can I go ahead and just strike that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I mean, while he's looking for it, like, the line I'm talking about gives the parliamentarian the way it's written, it gives the parliamentarian the power to change the type of resolution that a resolution is when it's presented. So, like, an example would be if someone wanted to present something as legislation. Or, you know, the parliamentarian could subjectively decide that they get a sense of the body. So, yeah.
So, might I encourage you to submit this as a formal resolution? Because technically you're amending our charter, which would require the same two-meeting requirement to actually change. And I know that this resolution has been on the agenda for two meetings.
I'm not amending the charter. I'm amending one of these changes because it's not currently in there, but it is in there with this change.
Is it a...
It's a line he added.
Can you verify that? All right. That's a good clarification. I didn't understand that. So can you clarify your amendment for the chair, please, for the record?
Motion to strike the aforementioned line from the charter that was added by the parliamentarian.
Section 7, line 2.
Did because you want me to explain why? Because it allows them to change the type of resolution that a resolution is when it's presented. But I think Mike had intended it for them to like clarify if someone had a question, but they already have that power under I think it is line 4. There's no reason they should be able to control what type of resolution it is. Like if I want to present something as legislation, I should be able to do it as legislation. They should be able to change it to the body.
All right, now we're moving to speakers list on the amendment. Representative Danzer. Any motions on the floor? There's been a call to question and there's been a second. And is there any dissent?
I have a quick question about it.
You can dissent and we can vote to vote.
Okay.
Do you dissent?
I mean, everyone wants to.
All right, so then we are going to go ahead and move into a vote on the amendment, which is to strike Section 7, Clause 2. Since it isn't currently in the Charter, we need simply a majority to strike it. So please raise your placards if you are in favor of the amendment to strike the clause. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, please place your placards down. Please raise your placards if you'd like to reject the amendment and let the clause stand. All right, please drop your placards. Any abstentions? The amendment fails. We are back on the main motion, and we have nobody else in the speakers list, and there's been a call to question. So we are called to question on Resolution 34, which is the entire charter. It requires two-thirds it requires two-thirds majority of the assembly to pass because it's a charter change. So, will the clerk please call the roll on Resolution 34? What was the count again? 20. All right, by a vote of 22-0-0, Resolution 34 passes. There's been to what? There's been a motion to move now to Resolution 45, and there's dissent. Thus, we will Well, I mean, there's no need to dissent. You either vote yes or no. So please raise your hand, please raise your placards if you'd like to move to Resolution 45. There's no, we're just going to go straight to a vote. All right, please drop your placards if you'd like to return to the business of the day. If you're moving to Resolution 42, please raise your placards. Oh, wait, no, we'd be going to elections rules.
No, what?
38, elections rules. Sorry, I just misspoke. Yeah, sorry, non-discrimination clause. Man, I'm sorry. All right, we'll move to Resolution 38.
I'd like to move 41 before 38.
We now have a motion. I will entertain that motion to move to Resolution 41. Is it 5:35?
It's past 5:35.
Or past 5:35.
Why? Why?
All right, we can recount. We can recount for moving. I apologize. Yeah, sure. Explain your dissent. Fine.
Okay, my dissent is one of the original authors of the resolution wanted to be here, which is Mike Walsh, and he wanted to explain his comments on it, but he wasn't able to make it this week. Seeing as how there's like 50 other things on the agenda, I don't see the harm in doing something else and doing it next week.
All right, thank you. I'm going to go ahead. We'll re-vote on moving to Resolution 45. All right, please raise. Can All right, I'll take that as a point of order. All right, now, we are going to vote again. Please raise your placards if you'd like to move to Resolution 45. All right, please drop your placards. If you'd like to just continue in the orders of the day, please raise your placards. All right, so we will be now moving to Resolution 45, spending money sustainably. Representatives Block, Brockman, and Desai. We have not moved it to business of the day yet.
So in that sense, we're going to move to business of the day? If we don't move to business of the day, what was the motion?
So currently this is still new business.
Right.
This is questions only. No, we're not voting on this today.
Okay. So we'll explain it.
You have 4 minutes.
Pretty much, it's been on the scene of the company environment committee to address how we spend money. It's one of the sole purposes, one of the main purposes which we have to look at here in student assemblies that we don't have lots of money to student organizations. And the environmental committee, we thought it would be appropriate if we had these organizations think about how they spend the money and try to more sustainable. So the government of the resolution is to ask the registration process that all people filing funding and everything else has to register every year to fill out an environmental impact statement, which will get us to reflect on that. So that's really what this resolution is about. In addition, we're going to the registration process for central business. Sustainability insurance, of course, that's optional. Small groups may not have that. And we would also like to provide the SAO with kind of guidelines that help groups fill out environmental impact statements, like example statements, supporting documents such as that. And this would really give the environmental committee a charge to look over these groups and make sure that one is participating.
Yeah, please.
Well, as you all probably know, last year when I was passing the climate action plan, it's going to take carbon neutrality by 2050. And this is regarded as one of the most ambitious plans under the policy of the United States for environmental policy. Was the reason why it was a national climate leadership position here? What I find disturbing, though, is that Cornell has no process for overseeing environmental aid. It's students who run clubs and distribution millions of dollars to these clubs. There's no oversight currently for the environmental impact of the city has. So that's what resolution is called for clubs when they're registering students in the
Thank you. Moving to the speakers list, Representative Smith. No, this is questions only. You have 45 seconds to answer it. That's time. So, and just to clarify for the assembly members, you have 2 minutes to speak and allow, technically, you provide time, part of your time, to the group to respond. Thus, I suggest you keep your questions short so the answers can be longer. Next on the speakers list is Representative Danzer.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's no better way
Thank you.
supportive, and our sentiments to that reflecting on numbers that they already have would make them more aware as for
what sort of information would this
have? I mean, like I said, we're providing like supporting documents.
But like, I'm productive. I'm not looking for a document that I don't know what this is. Do you have an example of, three or four things that would be included on any supporting document?
30 seconds.
Well, the supporting documents will be furnished to the committee for next week. So we will definitely be forwarding those to the committee as it comes out.
We're not voting on
this
week.
No, we're not voting on this week. So.
All right, thank you. Next in the speakers list is Trustee Craig.
I just had a similar sort of question that I had in the past. How would you, what would be the timeline for this? So, again, some of the people that are getting into Korea, get overloaded. We saw hundreds of groups of block funding, or were unable to get funding. No, no, just a great initiative to ensure that
we might want to have
too large. One machine, going to make sure to get the money.
Yeah, the last thing I would want to do then would be to make the machine more annoying. We want to make these things feasible, which is why we want supporting documents. But this is also a very important cost. We're dishing out millions of dollars. We want to make sure it's not being spent on styrofoam cups. So this is an important initiative. And as for the complications of people trying to get funding, this isn't something in the SAC guidelines. It's not something in our NHA. It's something in the registration. And as for the president, I can tell you that those forms aren't so complicated. Everything's online. There's some information that you need to submit. It doesn't take that long. And that much to ask for that all this money we're giving your organization is spent in a sustainable manner.
Thank you. You have 40 seconds.
We're not asking for multiple pages here. We're just asking for something sufficient to cover what they believe is an environmental impact, which I don't think will take more than a page.
Parliamentarian Gould.
I was just wondering if it might be a better avenue instead of penalizing groups who are not up to standards to instead accredit groups who are up to standards, who do want to send you the paperwork, who want to be recognized as sustainable organizations instead of penalizing.
Well, we honestly have no intention of penalizing any group. And we actually spoke about that. Maybe you could review these things, make a ranking process, and have people want to be the most sustainable group and things like that. And these ideas are being talked about and to come to fruition. What we want to have is a very hard way for us to have some strength in terms of getting them to our meetings when there's a challenge in terms of that and clarify their sentiments. So that's why that language is in our charge. But we really made it so difficult that we clearly have no intention of that's not the purpose of it.
All right. Yeah, at 6:15, I'm going to cut off the debate on this resolution. Representative Bajaj.
Thanks for being there. Just a few questions. I think the resolution is two major parts. One is the chairmanship, the environmental chairmanship of the Environment Republic, I think is a great idea. Having an avenue for communication for an environmental committee.
Reverend, questions only at this time.
Right. Straight to my question. So the second part was the impact statement, which I think is a lot of the unit on. So can we provide an example of like a debate club that travels on cruises, such as how they create their I think it's a very good idea. I think it's providing documentation for future to any guidance on what that would entail to be a part of the law.
Yeah, we're actually creating an example of environmental impact statement to the point of conference commission. So it's the point of a lot of different applications. But just to keep on it, what we're basically looking for is that we're going to say, yeah, we're going to corporate together.
30 seconds. And that's the time. Next on the speaker's list is former trustee Walsh. This is questions only. All right. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr.
Okay, quick question. A few of our committees, not every year they're as active as the Environmental Committee is this year, and it's incredible what you all have been doing. So is there any way that maybe it can be the responsibility of a different committee or some other way so that if the Environmental Committee isn't as active in future years, that it will this process will still continue? If hypothetically it passes.
I would like to talk to you more about that, but I think part of the change of charge is the way that the Environmental Committee legitimate and your responsibility, making sure the committee funds generally, so they help that remains active every year instead of what you want.
And then last is Representative Pendleton.
Concerned about your email communications being spammed.
And that's done.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you for presenting this. We can bring it up next week if we deem, if necessary. So thank you all for coming. See you on the street. Yes. All right. Which one is that? All right, the 42. We have a motion. Is it to move it simply to discussion? And to discuss it. All right, so we have a motion to move Resolution 42 to business of the day and to just jump to that point of our agenda.
Point of information to the chair?
Yes.
Like, do we have to do elections rules today?
No, elections rules just need to be passed before the end of the semester.
Right.
So that we have a motion, we'll now move to a vote. Thus, if you'd like to discuss Resolution 42, please raise your placards. All right, that's a clear majority. All right. So 6:40. All right. So there's been a motion to extend the meeting time to 6:45. We'll move. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, it is so moved and passed. So now we are discussing Resolution 42. It is business of the day, thus we can vote on it. You have 4 minutes to present your resolution. Can you please say your name and year for the record, please? Thanks. Could I just ask you really quickly to pull up the report while we're at it, since it's, you have a computer right there, so might as well. But one of you speak and the other one. We are now opening up the speakers list. Representative Danzers, first on the speakers list.
Yeah, so before I go through what it would take to go from this point to getting the co-op approved by the administration, by the university,
and so at this point, what we've done is we've had, we've listed different people in the co-op who might be interested in participating. There's a twofold sort of problem. First is the actual getting out of the environment, and that's the end of the conversation about how to update the new care. We've been in touch with companies who
Next, there will be an task force of people who really do enough, who will end up potentially creating the Constitution and
carrying out the task force, and then
that way you have the community established and you have the administration working to create our actual house and creating the same framework that the others offer in our relationship.
All right. Next on the speaker's list is VP Nicoletti.
So this sounds like a very interesting resolution to, I'm sure a lot of assembly members, but we got this report very late, and I'm sure that we could discuss it, I think, a lot more in depth if we had actually read it. And so I'd be in support of, and I'm going to motion to table this until next meeting so that assembly members can have a chance to read this report. I motion to table until next meeting.
Is there a second? And there's been a second. So thus, we will, well, there's no need to vote. You can vote against it. So if you are in favor of tabling this resolution till next week, which was this visit, till next meeting, which was the resolution, the motion, please raise your placards. Yes, hold on, point of information. No, we motion, yeah, we motion to, all right. So please raise your placards. So we're voting on if we are going to table this until next week, or if we're going to vote, or if we're going to continue debate. It's a motion to table, simply, or postpone would be the correct term. So until next meeting, sorry, not next week, the next meeting. So please raise your placards if you're in favor of the motion. Five. All right, please drop your placards. Please raise your placards if you're against the motion to table. Please, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6.
10 for 19. 6. All right, by motion of, and then any abstentions?
Which one's not voting yet? I never voted.
5. All right, the motion fails by 5-6 to however many. Quick question. EVP Mensah would like to change his vote.
What's the policy on that?
Change the vote?
After the vote is already done.
Recall?
Yeah.
All right. You have to vote to motion to recall. All right. We are going to do that one more time, everybody. All right. So let's figure this out. We can motion to recall a vote. So instead of doing that whole process, we're just going to vote again. All right. So it's a motion to table until the next meeting, which will be brought back. All right. So please raise your placards at this time high if you want to wait until next meeting to vote on this resolution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, please drop your placards. Please raise your placards if you'd like to continue debate. Okay, the motion and abstentions, doesn't matter. The motion fails. We are back into the debate, and next on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Reps. VP Reps.
Yeah, I think this is a great initiative. We've seen a lot from you, from the student assembly, so thanks for coming back. And I really support this. I'm also a tour guide, and we always talk about co-ops on all of our tours. Parents are really interested in that, and I think if we're really committed to doing public service at Cornell, this would be another great step in the right direction to bring that community to the forefront for students. So with that, I'd like to call for questions.
There's been a call to question and a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will vote on Resolution 42. Then we will not do call for acclamation. We will go ahead and do a roll call vote. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Proxies, yes.
Yes.
Not here.
By vote of 14-0-6, Resolution 42 passes. All right. Can we go ahead and move to elections rules, unless there's any dissent, and speak about elections rules for 10 minutes?
Oh, wait,
unless there's a dissent, no, not to vote, simply to talk about and ask questions.
Yeah.
All right? So we are now moving to elections rules, Resolution 41, for the next, for the last 10 minutes of the meeting. So, elections rules were sent out last night.
They're not attached,
but we can pull them up. And we will get them attached for next week, don't worry. Questions only today. So I would like to make a disclaimer that the elections rules have not been formally reviewed by the elections committee, and there's been no vote on these elections rules. But to give the entire body an opportunity to view what the committee is thinking, that's why we rushed it to this meeting, so that you guys can think about it over Thanksgiving break, and we can continue the discussion. We also have to realize that if the committee passes these rules, it's 2/3 majority to overturn the committee in any way, or simple majority to approve. And the only thing that's missing is the elections calendar, which the SA also has to approve before the end of the semester. And if it requires us to be in this room for 5 hours, we will have to be in this room for 5 hours, because we cannot end the semester without passing elections rules. So, you all have 4 minutes to present your resolution.
The second issue is the challenges. So
if you didn't want to, you could still run by yourself, and you wouldn't have to elect, you know, a specific ticket. You could break up if you say, I want this president or this vice president. Those are kind of major issues. We can go into more detail if anyone has a good question, but as people go through and read it more, sort of, there's a lot of things like that.
All right, first on the speaker's list is Representative Smith. No, I was just, yeah, my fault. Sorry. Next on the speaker's list is Representative. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I think that people ran that was far short. So more people got paid, people losing all the people and so on and so forth. But the point of allowing you to bring up that it's not, right? It gives voters all the choice, but it also gives people that are not going to run the right thing, whether they want to run the right thing.
And I'll just go ahead and take some of my own time here in that I'm the only member of the committee who seems to be pushing a little bit back on slates. Again, we haven't formally voted yet, so these rules aren't implemented, but we have to remember also that there are, from the new our new rules, we have non-SA members on the elections committee. And so the discussions are much broader than just what would have occurred if it were just SA members, and that's why some of these concerns are being brought up by SA members and which are being discussed more in length by non-SA members. So it creates a new dynamic, the Elections Committee, that hasn't been brought forth. So just letting you all know that as a point of information. Next is Representative Kay.
So there are a few things that I wanted to add to the election rules, and there are a few other issues that I have at the current rules. I think there's a little bit of lack of peace behind the election rules at the moment, and I was just talking to Charlie about that, particularly pertaining to like the posting policy and advertising in these online forums. And hopefully, I was wondering if the committee like talked about that, talked about readdressing those rules and trying to work on enforcement of the rules.
At this point, we definitely talked about it extensively, especially during the challenges. We talked a lot about electronic communication standards, violations of campus posting policies, so on and so forth. If those things get brought up here after year and year after year. And I think that I think every committee is going to take on their own stance in terms of how far we're going to regulate all those issues and what kind of decisions they're going to make. But the ultimate determination regarding whether or not we disqualify candidates, whether we tell them or we don't care about it, if the rule is broken, one, and two, given if the rule was broken, whether that's truly constituted or not fair advantage, then we are going to
So the time is 5:41. We have reached our time limit. Thus, I will declare the SA meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.